Come to the Lord's table today, and we're going to continue our teaching on the four cups. We are to the third cup, which is the significant cup, and I want to read some scripture as we start today. This one, we'll have it on the screen up here, but if you got your Bible, turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we're going to begin with verse 17. What we see right here, represented right here, does not come from the Bible. It comes from the Jewish tradition, the things that they practice. All of this comes from the Jewish writings. But during the life of Jesus, this was in place. This is what Jesus celebrated with his disciples. And it says in verse 17, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover supper?" Now, when we think about the Lord's Supper, we think about the one cup and a piece of bread. When they talked about Passover, it was a very elaborate thing that took place. It began several days before where they would go through the house and they would get all of the leaven out of the house. We do spring cleaning. That's what they did. They had to get every piece of leaven, every crumb of leaven out of the house. So he says, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover supper?" It was more than just about fixing a meal. "As you go into the city," he told them, "you'll see a certain man. Tell him the teacher says, 'My time has come and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" Wouldn't you love that to be in your house? So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover supper there. Now, in the Jewish tradition, there are four cups, and this is what we're going to talk about today, are the four cups of Passover. Now, remember, and we're going to say this again because I want this to stick in your mind. Why did they celebrate Passover? Three reasons. Number one, it was a memorial. God did not want them to forget. We celebrate events in our culture because we do not need to forget. We celebrate 4th of July. Why? We're celebrating the independence of our country. There are certain things that we mark in our lives that we celebrate and we remember. And those things are good. And I've always said this in families. The greatest way to ensure keeping your family together is celebrating together. Celebrate the things that are important. Celebrate birthdays. Celebrate anniversaries. Celebrate events that are memorable in your family. Celebrate Thanksgiving. Celebrate Christmas. I'm not one of these Christians that's against every holiday because it has pagan roots. You know, most of our holidays do have pagan roots, but you can celebrate them without being a pagan. Amen? So celebrate. Let's not forget the things that are important. And one way to mark things in our minds is to celebrate those things. Having a memorial. God wants us to remember certain things. He did not want them to forget about what he had done in their lives. The second reason was to remember the fulfilled promises. The fulfilled promises. And this has to do with the things that God has already done in our lives. And when we come to the Lord's table, that's part of what we need to go through. It's because it is a celebration. We're going to celebrate today. Today is mostly about celebration. Next week, we're going to talk about the things that are in our future because of what happened at resurrection. But today, we're celebrating, number one, what God has done. We're remembering, we're celebrating, we're thinking about the things that God has brought us out of and the things that he is bringing us unto. It's important that we do. So, and the third thing was hope. So there's a memorial, there is remembering the fulfilled promises of God, and there is also hope, which has to do with the future, and that's the things that God has promised for those who love him. Now, we're going to go through the cups, but before we do that, we're going to go ahead and distribute our communion elements. And we're going to do this, we're going to do this pretty quickly. The girls are going to come, and while you're getting this, they're going to sing. But what I want you to do is I want you to get the elements. I want you to hold them until the appropriate time, and we're going to take communion together. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with this section right here. If you'll stand and come by that aisle and return by this aisle, when they get done, this section can come by this aisle and return by this aisle. This section right now can stand and come this way and go that way. So, as we go through these cups today, we're kind of going to go in order. I'm not going to go through the whole Seder. That would just take too long. But there are several things that they did. Mainly, we're going to concentrate on the cups. Remember, the cup of sanctification, the cup of judgment, the cup of redemption, and the cup of praise or restoration. As they began the Passover service, one of the things that they did is they recited the Kiddush before they drank the first cup. And here's the thing that they recited. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath hallowed us by thy commandments, and has taken pleasure in us, and in love and favor has given us thy holy Sabbath as an inheritance, a memorial of the creation, that day being also the first day of the holy convocations in remembrance of the departure from Egypt. For thou hast chosen us and hallowed us before all nations, and in love and favor hast given us thy holy Sabbath as an inheritance. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hallowest the Sabbath. Now, I want you to notice the thing that it said, because the Bible says that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that ideal means to mark. Not that he forgot, but he marked something. And what he did is he marked a people. Remember, it says that you have chosen us. Israel was a chosen people. They were chosen for a purpose. But the problem with Israel was that they were in bondage. Here's a picture. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were chosen for a purpose. But they could not express their purpose because they were in bondage in Egypt. Just like you and I are chosen by God. You know, the Bible talks about us being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And even when we were predestined, the problem was that we too were in bondage. We were in bondage to sin. And one of the things that had to happen after we were chosen, God had to free us from our oppressor. Just as he freed Egypt, just as he freed Israel from Egypt, he has freed us from the power of sin. So when they celebrate this cup here, they read this blessing that God, we are chosen. We are chosen. And then they would drink. They would drink the first cup. And they would celebrate that. And I want to give you this phrase, and I made it rhyme, so I want you to remember it. What did he do here? He freed us. He freed me. And with that act, I'm free to be me. Say that with me. I'm free to be me. I've been created for purpose. But as long as my life was bound by addiction, by sin, by habit, I could not come into my purpose. So when he freed me from my enemy, he freed me to be me. He freed me so that I can express the purpose for which I am designed. As we get ready to partake, and we're not ready yet, as we get ready to partake, one of the things that I want you to celebrate today, that you're free to be me. That I'm free to be me. You have purpose, and you're free to be you. One of the next things that they did, and we've talked about this one before, was the pouch that had the three pieces of bread in it. They thought that it represents Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We found out that it represents Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what they did is they took the middle piece of matzah, the middle piece of bread, and they broke it. They put part of it back. They wrapped. Now, this doesn't come from the Bible. This comes from the Jewish writings. They wrapped it in a linen cloth, and they hid it for later. I'm going to hide it right here. The second cup is called the cup of judgment. And what happened in this cup, as they got ready to celebrate this cup, they had a dish. And what they would do, they would dip their finger in the cup, and they would put a drop in the dish. And they would name the different plagues. The blood in the Nile. Remember we talked about last week how that these were judgments upon the gods of Israel? Remember the first two, the blood of the Nile was the god of the Nile, Khnum and Happy. Then the second plague was frogs, Heket, the god Heket. The third and the fourth. The third one was lice. And that was the god of the earth, Gib. And the swarms was the next one. The next time they dipped was for the fifth plague, which was upon the livestock. Apis, the god Apis, the judgment against that god. The sixth plague was boils. That was against the god Serapis. The seventh plague was hail and thunder against the god Nut, the god of the sky. The eighth one, where the locusts ate the crops, was the eighth judgment. And that was against that god, and his name was Seth. The ninth one was darkness over the face of Egypt, and that was against the sun god, Amun-Ra. And then the tenth plague, which was the worst by far, was against Pharaoh himself, who was considered to be a god. And what happened in this cup, God exposed the gods of Egypt. They were pantheists. Were they really gods? They were no gods. And God showed by his mighty acts that their gods, which was in the vainness of their imaginations, he exposed their gods and he deposed them. Now, one thing was happening in the minds of the Israelites. They lived under that system for 400 years. And their hearts had been inundated with these gods. And one of the things that God was showing the people of Israel, that he is the one true God. So our second takeaway from this is that he exposed and deposed. That means he dethroned those gods. Say that with me. He exposed and deposed those gods. And he does that with the vain imaginations of our own heart. That he has judged the vain imaginations of our heart. Because we set up within our lives, if we're not careful, our own idols. And he said, there is no other God before me. Now, one of the next things they would do is they had the Passover meal itself. Now, I want to read, if you got your Bibles, you can flip with me or you can watch on the screen, Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to begin with verse 26. As they were eating, in fact, King James says, and after supper, Jesus took a loaf of bread. Now, the next thing that happened in the Passover ceremony, according to Jewish tradition, is they went and they found the linen napkin that had the piece of bread in it. This is called the afikoman. And what they would do, remember that was from the middle piece there? They would break off pieces of it and give some to everyone who was at the table. And Jesus said this. He took a loaf of bread. Now we think a big honking loaf of the kind of bread we eat. No, it was actually the matzah. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." What he was saying, in their minds, they had been taught this all their life, that this was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they always ask the question is, why is Isaac broken? Why is he hidden away, wrapped in a linen cloth and hidden away? It wasn't. They understood. When Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you," they begin to understand that this was not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that he was the fulfillment of this Passover as his body was broken for them. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Let's take this together and let's eat. We're taking a little bit different than what we're used to. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to each of them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood which seals the covenant." Now I wonder, by logical sequence, which cup? Would it not be the cup of redemption? What was revealed in the cup of redemption? It's where God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage and set them free. So here's the takeaway I want you to remember about this. Remember, this one is what? Free to be me. What is this one? Expose to depose. And this one is esteemed and redeemed. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So when we drink the cup, we're partaking of the covenant. Now, I've got a scripture before we take. This one is found in Jeremiah chapter 31. In fact, when he says, "This is the covenant in my new blood," the only time that that's ever mentioned is in Jeremiah 31, 31. Listen to this. "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah." I wonder why he said, "and Judah." Which tribe did Jesus come from? Judah. "This covenant will be like the one I made with their will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts." See, in the old covenant, their minds and hearts was not changed. In the covenant they're talking about here, something is going to happen on the inside that their hearts and their minds will be changed. "I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their family, saying, 'You shall know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will already know me, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and will never remember their sins." So when Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," their minds went back to Jeremiah. When he talked about not the old covenant, but the new covenant. The new covenant. This represented what Jesus did on the cross. This represents his death, his burial, and resurrection. What is it that we tell people? How do you come to faith? You believe. First of all, you confess that Jesus is Lord and that you believe that God has raised him from the dead. Next week, we will celebrate his resurrection. But we're going to do more than that. We're going to celebrate this cup. But today, we celebrate this cup. Because this is the week we call, this is Palm Sunday. This marks the week that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. This marks the week of all the examination of Jesus and the trial of Jesus and the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Friday represents the day that he was crucified. Sunday morning represents, which is Easter Sunday, the day that he rose from the dead. And when we come to this table and we partake of the cup, we partake of and we think about, I'm free to be me. That he has exposed and deposed the God of this world. And he has redeemed me and made me a partaker of his covenant that has nothing to do with keeping law, but has to do with him changing our hearts and writing his laws in our mind. As we hold this cup in our hand, as you hold that cup in your hand, and we get ready to partake, the Bible says that he blessed it and broke it. And he says, take and eat. And then he says, this is my cup, drink it. And he says, do this to remember me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the revelation of the table. Thank you that you didn't just free us from our enemies so that we could live meaningless lives, but you freed us from our enemy that we might live lives of purpose. You designed us before the foundation of the world, and you put within our hearts eternity and purpose. We celebrate that today. Lord, not only did you free us to be ourselves, you judged our enemy. You exposed him for the liar that he is, and you deposed him upon the cross. And you have given us the victory over the vain gods of this world and the vain imaginations and over Satan himself. And Lord God, as we hold in our hands today the cup of the covenant, we take it together by faith. Let's drink together. Now let's give him some praise. Can we do that? We give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving for all that you are, all that you have done. Help us, Lord, to remember that I'm free to be me. There, our enemy is exposed and deposed, and I am esteemed and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you. Can we stand together? I want us to sing this song again. This song is so appropriate for what we're doing today. Let's sing the verses of it. Let's sing it all.
It's a fountain.
Him.
He made you saints and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains.
Lord God, we praise you today for that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Thank you that it changed us. You brought us out to bring us in. You didn't bring us out so that we could be slaves. You brought us out to fulfill us, that we might bring glory to you. We were created for you, God. You've defeated our enemy. You've changed our lives by the new covenant. And Lord, you've laid before us a great and mighty hope. We bless you for that today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. You're dismissed.